in a forest.
I have come to this remote corner of southern Poland to try to unravel one of the last great mysteries of the Second World War. It's a story that's attracted the world's media.
Two men say they know the exact location of the Nazi ghost train
that went missing in 1945.
It's an extraordinary story.
It's captured the imagination of many who live here, even including members of the Polish government.
I'm 99% sure a train exists.
I'm hunting for a secret tunnel.
Whoa. It's on a big scale, isn't it?
That local legend says was hidden by the Nazis. And in it, a lost train said to be laden with gold.
And do you think this is where the rumours of this gold train comes from?
I'll consider the evidence that treasure might be hidden here. An area that for much of the war was considered the safest place in Nazi Germany.
We're 60 metres under the ground. No bombs would have been capable of destroying anything here.
I'll follow the treasure hunters who've spent years searching for the train and may now be about to find something. I'll delve into the region's past.
It feels like you're entering the dark heart of the Nazi world.
Revealing a high-level plan to build a top-secret Nazi HQ in this remote corner of the Third Reich. This extraordinary tale features a hilltop castle converted into a bolt hole for Adolf Hitler in the final months of the war.
This room now?
Yes.
Was going to be Hitler's bedroom?
Yes, exactly.
And a mysterious network of tunnels dug out of the ground by slave labourers.
This was going to be an industrial underground city.
If Hitler was planning to retreat to this remote part of his empire, then could Nazi gold have ended up here too?
If it's true, it's the kind of thing that happens once in a lifetime. A secret underground Nazi train loaded with valuables, buried for decades. Local people who were silenced first by the Nazis, then by the Soviets, finally coming out and telling their stories. It's the kind of thing us history lovers dream about.
Hunting the Nazi Gold Train, presented by Dan Snow. A train pulls up at a station in front of a neglected building with boarded up windows and graffiti daubed walls. Dan gets off and looks around.
I've arrived in the outskirts of Wałbrzych, a former mining town in southern Poland, where for many locals, treasure hunting has become an obsession. I've arranged to meet Wojciech Malinowski, a filmmaker who grew up here and who's been following the story for years.
How are you doing? Nice to meet you, Wojciech.
Nice to meet you.
Very beautiful place.
If you think it's beautiful.
I'm hoping he'll show me the tunnel that's been making headline news all over the world.
Come on, follow me.
But instead, he takes me to a nondescript piece of land at a location known simply as Kilometre 65.
So what are we looking at here?
This area looks strange. What do you think? This yeah. Part of this area.
Yeah, there's steep banks here and then there's a sort of bowl there.
And some people think that it was a little part of this railway which going to the tunnel, which probably will be there.
All the rest of those banks look like they follow the original railway line, and yet here there's this bowl.
Wojciech takes me to the K65 milestone, where the entrance to the secret tunnel is believed to be.
Ah, what's this?
This stone isn't a natural stone that one would find in the ground, nor is it part of any wall. It's most likely the keystone of a tunnel entrance.
That is interesting. I mean, it doesn't look anything like a railway tunnel. I mean, why do you think this is the area particularly that the Germans camouflage at the end of the war?
A lot of things. It's unnatural shape, and there are no trees over 70 years old. These are young, self-seeded trees.
And you're right, on the other side over here and elsewhere, there are actually much older trees.
Over there are the original trees, and here, these trees that have grown after that time.
About 400 metres further along the same railway embankment, Wojtek wants to show me two mysterious structures, which he thinks prove the Nazis were at work here.
So you think there's a tunnel underneath us now?
Yes, I hope.
You hope? What are these?
Od razu widać, nic tu więcej nie ma.
See, there is nothing here apart from these two shafts. When you look closely, this is the kind of construction typical of the Third Reich. So why is something like this in the middle of a field? Assuming a tunnel exists, then this could be the ventilation shafts.
No way. Ventilation shafts? Of course.
Yes.
Wojtek isn't alone in his suspicions. Local treasure hunters have been scouring this area for decades. This is because in 1945, the town of Waldrich and the whole of Lower Silesia were not part of Poland, but Germany. It was also beyond the range of the Allied bombing campaigns that targeted the country from 1942. And so, rumour has it, many important documents, artworks, and even gold were buried in the mountains. But I'm after something more substantial than rumours. I need firmer evidence before I can even start to believe that there might be a secret Nazi railway tunnel on the outskirts of this town.
What I really want is a first-hand account. I'd love to hear from somebody who actually saw the railway, the siding and the tunnel during the war with their own eyes. There is one man who may be able to help. His name is Tadeusz Sowiakowski. He's a retired miner, and it was him who first identified the great potential at this particular site. He spent the last two decades looking for Nazi loot.
Hi, Tadeusz. Dzień dobry. Dzień dobry.
Tadeusz Sowiakowski is one of the last men alive to have spoken to Germans who claimed that during the war, they saw a second train track at kilometre 65.
Ah, your man cave, Tadeusz.
He first heard about the mysterious tunnel from an engine driver's assistant who regularly travelled along the railway line. And he's even built a replica of the site, as it's been described to him, in his garage.
There's the model.
So here we go. This is the model of the tunnel and the siding. And this is kilometre 65 here. So you've talked to an engine driver on this main line who saw two carriages here in the siding.
He would shunt these carriages here, and every time he went down the track, and he was always curious because there was a gate here and you couldn't see inside. And he climbed onto the coal and saw behind the fence that there were two carriages.
Tadeusz tells me that he's spoken to other locals who confirm the train driver's account. Like him, they also claim to have seen military trains on a hidden track, running off the main line into a tunnel.
It's great to see a visualization of Tadeusz's theory. It's not all just words anymore. You can actually see it laid out. And if what he says is true, high walls would have prevented anyone using that main line from looking into these sidings here, with the exception of that one guy, that enterprising guy who stood up on the coal behind his locomotive and peered over and saw this siding. And there's the tunnel. And we have seen possibly some of the stones from that tunnel at the site. Looking at this, what really strikes me is why did the Germans go to all this trouble to make sure that this little siding and the tunnel it was connected to remained secret? There must have been something pretty important down there.
A train passing near the location.
After speaking to Wojtek and Tadeusz, a picture is starting to appear. A collapsed tunnel entrance, possible ventilation shafts emerging from the ground, Second World War accounts of a secret railway line hidden from view by the Germans. It's tantalising, if circumstantial, evidence. But it's been enough for some locals to have gone one stage further. In 2014, local historian Andreas Richter and builder Piotr Kopper decided to scan the area with ground-penetrating radar, and they've agreed to show me what they found.
Andreas, let's see some of the surveys from this area then. Let's have a look at the tunnel and the train.
Of course, here we are on the top. We're going down now, and we will see what might be beneath the ground. A radar image builds on a blue screen.
What the radar technology revealed convinced them there really was something unusual at the site.
And now you can see, here is a solid structure. In nature, you never see such solidness. It's different.
So you're saying that there's a sort of central stripe there. You're saying that's an unnatural, that's a man-made feature.
Yes. It's level, both on the left and right side. There is one long, even line running for 60 meters. It looks like a carriage. Pointing to a small area on the image. It's like a coupling. Look at all of this. Look what this looks like. Look at one more thing. This is an axle. It goes precisely through the middle of the object. And look, both sides are the same. Right and left on the left, like a mirror image, like in a car. Left inner wheel arch and right inner wheel arch. This is rock.
So that's the side of a tunnel, that's the wall of a tunnel. It's reaching up higher than what's in between it. And in between it, there appears to be a man-made symmetrical object, a big substantial object, like it's a train with an engine.
They are carrying some kind of load. These are some kind of vehicles with something like guns on top. Something completely symmetrical. The ground never looks like this. Never.
The images are very seductive. But are the treasure hunters seeing what they want to believe? They don't claim the train is full of treasure, but there could be a great deal of money in this for them if they really have struck gold.
Well, you can't help but be carried away by their enthusiasm. But I did leave there slightly questioning their motivation. What was really driving them on? A great love of history and archaeology? Or the desire to get their hands on that Nazi gold? They're claiming a 10% finder's fee, and they have employed a lawyer. They must believe they're onto something.
A railway track glimpsed through trees.
So what is it about this part of Poland that's caused so much speculation? That's what I need to find out next. For much of the war, this southeastern corner of the Third Reich was far away from the front lines. And out of range of the Allied bombing campaigns that from 1942 started to lay waste to the country's industrial heartlands. The regions that fed the German war machine. Factories were relocated here, and precious works of art were stored away for safekeeping.
Archive black and white footage of a bombing raid.
And beneath these mountains, they developed one of the most incredible schemes. A project so extraordinary, it defies imagination.
Rustling grasses on forested slopes.
There's a reason why the reports of a secret tunnel at kilometre 65 haven't just been dismissed out of hand and Piotr and Andreas derided as a pair of hopeful amateurs. And that is to do with its particular location. It isn't just a random railway siding in the middle of Poland. It sits right next to one of the most extraordinary and sinister Nazi projects of them all. A huge, secret, underground labyrinth of tunnels burrowed out in the final years of the war. Its codename was Risa, Giant.
The peaceful countryside today.
This top secret project started in 1943. Hitler entrusted the work to his favourite architect, Albert Speer, and his most skilled and trusted engineers, Organisation Todt. This organisation was responsible for major construction projects. The Autobahns in the 30s. The Siegfried Line. The Reich's Western defences. And the construction of the Atlantic Wall along the western coastline of occupied Europe. But now they were tasked with something even more ambitious. I want to find out what the RISA project was about, in the hope it might shed some light on why so many people believe there's a hidden Nazi train in this area.
Dan's abseiling down into a deep, narrow shaft with roughly hewn walls.
Bit there. Soaking wet in here.
Water droplets caught in the daylight from the shaft entrance far above him.
I've heard about people entering the dark heart of the Nazi world before. This feels like you're doing it literally.
He uncouples himself from the rope and begins to explore.
Local historian Lukács Kašek has agreed to guide me through the RISA.
We've come maybe 800 metres into the mountain here. How long are these tunnels?
10 complex, much 3 kilometres.
This complex is 3 kilometres long.
I can see there's tunnels moving off in all directions.
Yes, this is a grid. There are 3 hallways parallel to each other, and 6 that intersect, making it a grid, a labyrinth, as we could say.
Well, so what's happened? Is this a natural cavern that they've just hit into?
There was never a natural space here. There were 2 hallways, one above the other. Then the ceiling was collapsed, creating massive halls 12 metres high. This is the majority of the tunnels were supposed to look like.
So what were they doing down here? What was the point of this complex?
The Germans were moving their weapons industry underground, so it's very likely they intended to install factories down here. None of the American, English, Soviet bombs would have been capable of destroying anything here.
And so you think this was going to be a huge, almost an industrial underground city?
Well, had the Germans finished and linked the complexes together, this would have been a powerful Nazi city. One of the dark, dimly lit tunnels.
Lukács tells me that many RISA tunnels have yet to be discovered, while other explorers have claimed that the Nazis hid treasure and top secret weapons here in the last days of the war. All this seems to strengthen the case for the possible existence of another secret tunnel at nearby K-65. The Nazis did complete other projects like this, like the vast underground factories discovered in central Germany after the war, where military aircraft and advanced rockets like the V-2 were being manufactured. But if the RISA project had been finished, it would have been even bigger. Could Hitler have been planning to develop even more deadly weapons down here?
Not surprisingly, how much moisture was coming into the tunnels back there. Some sections of the tunnel have completely flooded. You have to get along hauling yourself on a rope. It's just otherworldly. Totally silent.
Eventually, the boat Dan's pulling himself along in reaches a large cavern.
Whatever the RISA tunnels were intended for, there is no doubting their impressive scale.
Dan sits back in the boat and looks up at the towering walls of mustard-coloured rock that surround him.
This is the biggest space I've seen down here by far. It's probably 3 stories high, 100 metres long at least. It's vast. It's like an underground cathedral. It's not surprising that the people who came after, the Poles who arrived in this area, when confronted with these ghostly, echoing, half-built monuments, made up stories, made up legends. These caverns have bred a whole generation of conspiracy theories.
Some say the RISA complex was even designed to house the German atom bomb the Nazis were developing. But whatever its purpose, one thing that's certain is that these tunnels came at an incredible human cost. It's estimated that 5,000 people subjected to forced labor died on the project, hacking out granite rock in temperatures just above freezing. For the thousands of innocent people worked to death here, Project Risa was simply a giant tomb.
From mountains in misty silhouette to Dan approaching a gate tower.
I'm going to Gross Rosen concentration camp. It would have supplied the slave labourers for the excavation work carried out underground. Over the entrance is the great Nazi lie, "Work sets you free." Emaciated prisoners like these carried out the back-breaking work. Local expert Marta Sadwoka has studied the living hell that was Camp Gross Rosen.
Most of the military industry was focused in the hands of forced laborers or prisoners of concentration camps. And in case of camps like this, the work was a means to kill them all. So extermination was, of course, fulfilled in here.
Of all the Nazi labor camps, the ones at Risa had the harshest living conditions and some of the highest mortality rates.
The average lifespan was 2 or 3 months for one person. And this is how long they actually could live, especially when they worked physically as here.
So was Risa seen as a particularly brutal way to finish prisoners off? That's why they sent the Jewish prisoners there.
Definitely. People had to work underground. And even when the walls were exploded in some parts, they were sometimes not released to the surface. So they still had to work in the dust and various different toxic fumes out of the explosive substances. They were ending even quicker than here.
With death tolls rising and the Soviets advancing, what must have been going through the minds of the men in charge here?
Well, the last couple of days at the Risa and the Gross Rosen camp have just driven home the sheer insanity of what the Nazis were doing in this region. I mean, the inhumanity and barbarism of that camp, but also underline that, the stupidity of murdering your own workforce when allegedly they were working on this enormously important, grandiose project, which actually just seems to me to be a totally insane folly. Its purpose still, to this day, a mystery.
I want to find out what else was going on in this region that might help to explain why a Nazi gold train could have ended up here too. This is Schorsch Castle, the largest and most stunning palace in the whole of Lower Silesia.
A map.
The site of the suspected tunnel is less than 2 miles away. I've come here, as I've heard that there is a link between the castle, the Risa tunnels, and the mystery at K65, and that Hitler himself may lie at the heart of the connection.
A huge, opulent room with chandeliers hanging from its painted ceiling.
Hi there.
Welcome to Schorsch Castle.
Thank you. It's more like a palace than a castle.
It is a palace and a castle.
Mateusz Mikitisian has studied the history of the castle.
Since 1509 until 1933, it belongs to Counts of Hochbergs.
Mateusz tells me how the Nazis confiscated the castle from its owners and planned to make it the center of their operations in this area.
Stepping through a door.
Let me show you this interesting room that is under the black courtyard.
This is a very different feel, isn't it?
Oh, this is actual Nazi work. This is the guard room, the room that they were preparing for protecting important people that were staying here in the castle. And it was actually an escape room for elevators, for shafts that they are here.
So shafts leading where?
Leading under the ground, into the tunnels.
So there's a whole network of tunnel under the castle?
At least 2 levels. Some people say more. We know right now for sure that there are at least two levels of over 1,400 square meters underground tunnel covered with concrete in 75%.
So that's why this place is talked about as part of the Risa complex, because the tunnel's here as well.
Exactly. Let me show you the shaft that is still here. And that was one of the evacuation elevators. Wow. So you could escape very easily to the undergrounds.
I've been to the rest of the research. It's for factories and for underground armaments. Why incorporate this palace?
We believe it's supposed to be a headquarter for very important people from German Reich.
So who was supposed to come here?
Very important person. I think the most important in German Reich that time, Adolf Hitler.
Climbing a set of stone steps to another floor.
Mateusz tells me that work to convert the castle began in mid-1944.
A long, wide corridor.
The plan was to make it suitable for the Nazi high command. At the same time, as many thousands of German soldiers were losing their lives on the Eastern Front, no expense was spared as the Nazis redecorated the castle. The beautiful green and red rooms were painted white, its Baroque and Rococo features ripped out and replaced with the Nazis' favourite neoclassical style, making room for the greatest works of art looted from across Europe.
A room painted in white and pale peach.
So it's amazing how much the Nazis managed to reshape this. They only had a year. It must have been a huge effort they put in.
Not even a year. 10 months, and 25 young architects were working here on preparing this Lower Silesian splendid residence, known as the Pearl of Silesia, to the grandest residence of Adolf Hitler. And that was the room that was prepared for him as his bedroom.
This room now?
Yes.
Which is going to be Hitler's bedroom?
Yes, exactly. And that's why these two doors were created, two pearl doors, to lead to his bathroom, but not only bedroom, but also his private lift, leading to the tunnels under the ground.
So he had a, just outside the doors of his bedroom, he had a lift. So if there was an air raid or something, he could just get straight in and go down to the tunnels. The Risa mystery just grows larger and larger every time I learn more about it.
And there is so many more mysteries to actually uncover here.
The castle's rose pink facade.
Clearly, what Hitler had in mind here was a new command center.
By the time the Nazis took over this castle, the war in the East was going badly and the Soviet Red Army was advancing. Now, Hitler seems to have responded to that by doubling down on the war effort, prepare himself and his empire for a war of annihilation against the Soviet Union. He had the vast Risa complex constructed in this area. Kilometers of tunnels, perhaps designed to be top secret weapons production facilities.
The new Führer HQ was to be linked to the Risa complex, creating a subterranean shelter for 27,000 top Nazi and SS personnel spread across 25 kilometers. The resources this project consumed were a massive drain on the war effort, something the Nazis could ill afford at this time.
Albert Speer, who was Hitler's chief architect and weapons production minister, said that what was going on in this region sucked in more concrete, more materials, than the construction of every single air raid shelter right across the Third Reich. So this was a huge focus for Hitler himself. And a big clue to that still lies beneath my feet.
A man waiting by a red door set in rock.
My guide to the tunnels under the palace is Leopold Stembowski.
How are you doing?
Who has lived in the castle grounds all his life. He tells me that work here was far more sophisticated than at the Risa, only a few miles away.
Dan shines his torch over the tunnel's walls.
Yeah, that's completely different, isn't it? Two stories high, concrete lined. Whoa. It's on a big scale, isn't it? It's a lot further advanced than the other tunnels I've seen. This must have been a priority for them.
The tunnels are enormous, impressive. You could easily drive a car in here. And that's how most likely the inhabitants planned to move around.
I can now see what all the concrete was used for. Leopold then showed me a peculiar section of wall. It could indicate that something incredibly big was being hidden here.
We are standing in front of the wall that is full of mystery. As we can see, the rest of the walls are properly finished, but this one is not. It was cast in a sloppy way, not typical of German workmanship. It was here that two witnesses claimed that the tunnel extended beyond this wall into a large space carved into the rock.
Could these accounts of a large space behind this wall indicate the existence of a secret railway line out of the castle?
So what's interesting is we're very close here to the site where those people claim to have found a tunnel with perhaps a train in it. Surely that's related to this big facility here, because we're so close.
There is a theory that this tunnel with that gold train was linked or was supposed to lead to Change Castle. If so, it certainly wouldn't have been from the west, north or south, but from the east, that is, from this side. We don't rule out the hypothesis that under these tunnels is a train station.
Were there plans for a rail connection from these tunnels to the main line at K65? It's possible, because we know that Hitler travelled everywhere on military trains and that most of his HQs had hidden railway access.
Black and white footage of Hitler aboard a train.
It makes me wonder if this is what they were planning at the castle.
The train enters a tunnel.
While I was at the castle, they did tell me that there used to be a narrow gauge railway, a little service railway that came off the main line just here and possibly followed the line of this raised embankment here. What's fascinating, what's tantalising, that we're now only 400 or 500 metres away from where the finders think they've identified that tunnel with the collapsed entrance. Could it have been that the plan was to expand this railway and allow a full-scale train to go up to the castle, deliver the Führer to his headquarters? In which case, that tunnel back down there, it could have been a facility in which to house the Führer's train, keep it away from prying eyes. And that's why, because of the sensitivity around it being designed for Adolf Hitler himself, it was disguised in 1945. It's possible.
If they do find a tunnel at K65, the fact that Hitler himself could be connected to it gives this investigation a whole new level of importance. This could be a historical gold mine, whether there's treasure there or not.
Rivet-studded crossbeams on a railway bridge.
Back at K65, the Polish authorities are taking the claim that a tunnel exists seriously. But they're worried the Nazis may have booby-trapped the area. So before any dig can start, the army is sent in.
A soldier checking for mines with a metal detector.
This is just the latest in a series of hold-ups to hit the treasure hunters. In 2015, Piotr and Andreas's hopes suffered a dramatic setback. With so much speculation about the train, other experts got in on the act, carrying out their own surveys of the site. And at one packed press conference, with the world watching, the show was stolen by another team of experts, led by geophysicist Professor Madej. His announcement was a showstopper.
We've done tests. There might be a tunnel, but there is no train. a statue of two foundry workers casting metal, then another of two miners with pickaxes.
I'm going to see the man who may have just killed our story. I'm interested to know why two sets of people could have such wildly different results. Professor Made works at the renowned AGH University of Science and Technology in Krakow, the world's oldest geophysics department. His assistant is going to give me a demonstration of the magnetometer equipment they used at K65.
Is it heavy?
No, heavy.
Yes, very heavy.
And you had to carry it all around that railway site.
Can I?
Here we go, yeah.
Thank you.
That is heavy, wow. And he makes you do this.
No, he doesn't make me do this. I really like doing this.
Okay, it's good for you. It's good.
Yes.
Okay.
So can I see how fast you are? Let's go into the corridor. Let me see how fast you walk over the site. Come on.
Okay. One go.
Okay, yeah. Okay, go for it. Oh, so you can go quite fast if you're looking for a big object. Sounds like it's going crazy.
Dźwięk.
The sound depends on the surrounding. There is a lot of steel, hence the high pitch. If there was less steel, then the sound would be less. It means that someone is walking near me with a camera.
And so when you were...
There are pipes here. No, it's the camera.
So is this the exact equipment you used to demonstrate there is no train down there?
No train.
Maybe a tunnel, but not a train. The tunnel doesn't exist either.
You're breaking hearts, saying there's no train.
There is no train at the 65th kilometre, nor any tunnel.
Professor Made proceeded to give me the science behind his conclusion. He told me they had found some anomalies at the site, but these were quickly discounted.
One of the elements was a steel pipe located 1 meter below the surface. This gave us a reading of 100 to 200 nanoteslas, the unit of measurement in magnetic surveys. However, a train found at the same depth as the existing railway line alongside should have given off at least 4,000 nanoteslas. And this is not what we found.
So, could the only gold train be this one on Professor Made's desk? And what the world is getting excited about be just a pipe lying a meter below the ground?
A train pulling freight wagons.
Professor Made's results seem damning, so I've decided to revisit the treasure hunters.
A map spread out on a table. Piotr says, I admit that I was shocked, because I was convinced that the professor, having such great equipment, so much experience and a database, it shouldn't have been a problem for him to discover what we found. But it turned out to be a problem. For me it was a shock.
But has it made your job more difficult because the scientist said there's nothing there? Is it now harder to get the excavation going?
Andreas says, yes, we had a lot of sponsors and investors willing to help us, to give us money. But when the AGH University said that there's nothing there, all the sponsors ran away. We're going forward, but we'll have to finance everything ourselves.
Andreas and Piotr are not giving up and are still planning to go ahead with their dig. In fact, they're so convinced they're right, they're investing their own money to prove it. While they sort out the finance and permissions for the dig, I want to look into how Nazi gold could have got here. The evidence I've gathered so far, a possible secret railway line linking the castle to K65, the spot where the treasure hunters want to dig, plans for a new headquarters for Hitler, a network of underground tunnels, perhaps to house Hitler's weapons factories. The idea that Nazi treasures could have been sent here for safekeeping is at the very least plausible. But where did it come from? The answer could lie in the location itself. K65 marks the distance to the regional capital, Wrocław. When Hitler came to power, it was called Breslau. And during the war, the city was a safe haven for valuable national treasures, as well as stolen Nazi loot. It was also the transit point for much of the gold and jewellery taken from Jews killed in the death camps. But by early 1945, the Soviet Red Army was at the gates.
Dan passes an old loco standing upright.
As the city prepared for a last stand, the Nazis desperately tried to move their valuables to safety.
Archive footage.
I'm meeting Professor Tomasz Glowinski, an expert on Breslau's wartime fate. He tells me what evidence there is for treasures leaving before the Soviets encircled and sealed the city.
The fact that works of art, archives, important documents were collected and evacuated out of the city, we know for sure. We have written evidence of this.
And do you think this is where the rumours of this gold train comes from? This evacuation of valuables from the city?
Certainly civilians saw convoys leaving the city. This evacuation of the works of art and other valuables is estimated at about 100 transports. Maybe then the legend was born that something is quietly, secretly being evacuated at night. Someone saw a crate, a tarpaulin-covered truck, leave the city. Archive footage.
As the Soviets closed in, Breslau descended into chaos as people tried to flee by any means possible.
Civilians transporting their belongings on carts.
The main station was crowded with civilians desperately seeking a way out of the city. So, could a train with a cargo full of gold left Breslau at this point, slipping out amidst the confusion and panic?
A crowded train at the time, then a modern train departing the station today.
It is possible to believe that this city was in such a state of chaos and uproar that a shipment of gold could have made it here in trucks, unobtrusively transferred onto a train and taken out of town. It would have been a crazy time, these platforms thronged with refugees trying to escape the clutches of the Russians. And it strikes me that a small shipment, it could have slipped out of the city. People weren't taking notes in triplicate and filing them. It is possible.
A small blue and yellow train trundling along a track. Then the area around K65 from the air. The trees that line the track cloaked in shades of russet and gold.
Back at K65, Andreas and Piotr have finally been given permission by the authorities to clear the area in preparation for their dig.
Earth-moving equipment's brought in.
Crowds have started to gather to get a sneak peek, but our treasure hunters have decided to fence the dig off from the public in order to keep anything they find private. While we wait for the dig to begin, I've been looking for evidence that gold was hidden in the hills and mountains around K65, and I think I've found it.
Dan's watching a black and white program on a laptop.
It's fantastic. Classic. Golden age Polish television from the 1970s. Might not look like much to the modern eye, but this is actually a vital clue into whether any German gold could have got out of Breslau before the Soviets arrived. In the interview, a member of the Polish security service claimed the Nazis had hidden large quantities of gold in nearby mountains. The man at the root of this mystery is Herbert Kloser. Kloser claimed to have been a vet in the Wehrmacht, though Polish intelligence in fact believed he'd been an SS officer. Kloser's being a little bit evasive, but he does admit to taking part in an operation where 50 chests of gold were taken out of Breslau
And he even says where he took them.
The transport was very hush-hush, as a big secret. We were told we must go, take food supplies, and that we would be busy for a couple of days. The interviewer asks, and what road did you take and where to? Closer replies, we drove from Wroclaw straight there, to Jelenia Góra.
The film followed the route that Closer claims to have taken, and I've decided to retrace it too, up into the mountains. Jelenia Góra is in the same mountain range as Valbje, and only 50 kilometres from K65.
Following the road in the TV programme.
According to Closer, they brought the treasure on the back of trucks up here to the slopes of Mount Śnieżka, which is on the modern Polish-Czech border.
Dan gets out of his car.
Up here, high in the mountains, they transferred that treasure from the trucks to horseback. Now, they went up the hill on the horses with the treasure. At that point, he tells interrogators that he fell off his horse and got an injury. Well, slightly convenient, you might think. He goes back down, he goes to hospital, and he's not there when the treasure is deposited for safekeeping somewhere in these hills. One of his comrades comes back down, visits him in hospital, and tells him that the mission was completed. The treasure was stowed. But he, of course, claims he doesn't know where it is. It does mean that I could be just meters away from Nazi gold now. Well, I've got to get out of Silesia. I've got gold fever like everyone else in this place. I'm going crazy. But it is tantalizing.
Walking through tall trees.
The Closer story is evidence that the Nazis were hiding secret cargoes of gold in the mountains not far from Valbje. So, if there is any secret tunnel at K65, one of those cargoes could have ended up there.
A train passes K65, where diggers are working behind a screened-off area at the trackside.
The diggers are moving in, and after a year of growing anticipation, the excavation has finally begun.
A digger's bucket scoops up soil and adds it to a pile it's excavated from a trench.
Andreas and Piotr have assembled a team of 64 people, many local volunteers, and they're confident of uncovering a secret Nazi tunnel and train.
A digger deposits its bucket load of soil onto the back of a dumper truck.
So far on this journey, I've been down tunnels, I've visited castles, I've seen the appalling human cost of the mad Nazi building plans. I've followed the journey of Nazi gold. And now I'm back here at kilometre 65. Behind me, the dig is just beginning. And we are finally going to find out whether those treasure seekers have got exactly the right place, as they believe, and whether there's gold down there. Piotr and Andreas have opened up several trenches along the top of the embankment, where their surveys indicate the tunnel is located. They've also been doing new scans of the area, which they say back up their original findings.
Andreas tells a press conference, "We used additional equipment from the Ukraine, and this is what it shows in one place." He holds up an image, and pointing to it, Piotr says, "It shows the roof of a tunnel."
The new scans have instilled confidence in the team that they will definitely find something.
We'll have the results of the test soon, and we'll be able to say something more. If this train is there and there are tunnels, then we'll find them for sure. Because the trenches are so wide and deep, they will tell us for sure.
Everything in this investigation suggests that it is just possible that gold could be hidden somewhere in these mountains. But is it at kilometre 65? Before I find out if Andreas and Piotr are right, there's one last story that I want to explore. When I first came here, 85-year-old miner Tadeusz Slawakowski told me that the Nazi security around K65 was very tight, and that some local residents living near the tunnel entrance were killed as the Soviets approached Valjevo.
on the last day of the war.
So are you saying that the Nazis murdered the people who lived in these houses?
So here, on the 5th of May, this is where the houses were standing. We have now found documents that show that there was a hand grenade thrown into this house. The people died because of the grenade. And now we have a puzzle, whether from that window it was possible to see what was camouflaged here. A photo of the house with its dormer window.
Tadeusz thinks these murders are evidence that the Nazis wanted to keep their activities at K-65 secret. A secret so significant that uncovering it could cost you your life. This intrigues me, because while I've uncovered some evidence that a gold train might be buried around here somewhere, this could help pinpoint it to the exact place where the treasure hunters are digging. I've decided to try and check it out. Frustratingly, the original house has since been demolished. But incredibly, given all the death and mayhem of the last stages of the war, the murder of these three people was actually recorded in a local church register.
It's the first time I've actually been able to sit down with some real evidence in black and white, written down at the time of these events that I'm trying to unravel. It's evidence that three women were murdered in exactly the place that we're fascinated by, meters away from this secret railway siding. But tragically, frustratingly, it doesn't tell us who did it. And it puts the date at exactly the time when it could have been either side. The German army were in the process of collapsing. This was the last day of the Third Reich. And the Soviet army were on the fringes of town about to push in and take over. It's an absolute turning point in world history. And these three women were killed at that time. The fact is, this doesn't get us any closer to being definitive about whether there's a tunnel under that hill and whether it was deliberately disguised.
From Dan studying the register to the excavation work at K65.
Back at the dig, and like me, Piotr and Andreas have hit a dead end. What they thought was the top of the tunnel is in fact a glacial deposit. Intricate rock formations dating back millions of years. And the train they thought they'd seen on their scan hasn't yet materialized. I get the sense they're not feeling quite as confident as they once were.
Where does your scan show that the train was?
Right here, next to this hole. This is the site we got the best picture from the GPR. But we haven't been able to get down there because of the rock.
So you're saying there is still a tunnel here, we just haven't found it yet?
Here we're too high up. We need at least 10 to 12 meters below that, but we can't break through the rock. We need to use a drilling rig.
Piotr and Andreas are saying that to dig deeper, they need heavy drilling equipment, and they require extra permissions from the authorities before continuing. For now, the treasure hunters have no choice but to fill the hole in.
Well, the dig has officially finished, and we can now say for certain that the hunt for the Nazi gold train has produced no Nazis, no gold, and no trains. I've got to admit, I'm a little bit gutted. I tried to remain sceptical throughout, but a little part of me wanted to believe, a little part of me hoped that there would be a gold train down here and that I would be privileged enough to witness one of the most remarkable moments of archaeological discovery of all time. But instead, there's nothing.
Andreas and Piotr walking away dejectedly. Then, smiling, Andreas says, it's definitely not the end of the world if the train is not here. It will be somewhere. We'll think of how to do things better, and we'll do another dig.
It's frustrating that no gold train has yet been found, but I think I've uncovered an even more compelling story. Could the secret Riesa tunnel complex and the remodeled castle reveal one of Hitler's final and most ambitious plans? Was he hoping to retreat here, relocating his weapons factories to the tunnels below and then fighting on from this final defensive redoubt. If this was his plan, then perhaps it makes it more likely that there is a gold train hidden somewhere in these hills. And maybe it's just a matter of time till someone finds it. As I was preparing to leave, I got a surprise call from Wojtek, the local filmmaker I first met when I arrived, asking me to meet him half a kilometre away from the dig. He was the man who first persuaded me there could be something to this legend. He still thinks our treasure hunters are onto something, but they're not digging in quite the right place. You see, I came onto this piece of land with you and you convinced me the train was here. I was so excited because of these, what might be ventilation shafts or hatch covers or something. Why aren't they digging here?
I always suspected there are more interesting things over here. In my opinion, the dig should have started on this side. And these shafts are the evidence that there must have been something under the ground here. But I don't think the story is over yet. Most likely, the story will never end. A tunnel entrance, and the path of railway sleepers that leads to it overgrown with vegetation.
So the treasure hunters never found their gold, but it's not going to stop them. And the reason is because this part of Europe has such an extraordinary history. A history of conquest, tumult, population shift, hidden tunnels, bunkers, buried treasure, and all of that ensures that no one in this area is ever going to stop looking for Nazi gold.